Thank you, Mr. Moss, and good afternoon, everyone. My wife and I are very excited to be here this weekend. There's a wedding happening, and we're going to be two for two and have an empty nest. That's very sad. It breaks my heart. So, Mr. Hopkins gave the first split sermon, which was the bad part of marriage, and I drew the long stick, so I get to talk about the good part of marriage. You know, marriage does talk about for better or for worse. We've heard all the worse. Now we get to focus on some of the better. Because that is one of the reasons we marry, is because marriage makes us better. Marriage improves our life. Marriage gives us all kinds of opportunities. Marriage allows us to spend decades with the same person, growing closer and closer together. This afternoon, I just want to look at a couple of things about marriage. And one of them is we marry to have someone to lift us up. We marry to have someone to talk to and for somebody to listen to. We marry to have somebody's back all the time. And we marry to have a relationship that's growing closer together and ultimately closer with God. The ultimate purpose of marriage is that bond that grows closer to God. We marry for so many better things. So today, that's what we're going to look at for a little bit this afternoon. Now, are you getting married tomorrow? Tomorrow, okay. So that's why we're here, and I remember one time back when Alan was, say, 12, and we were at an activity with some other people in Michigan, and Alan and William and some other people were at the dance, and there was this little girl kind of hanging around outside, and Alan and William were trying to coax her to come into the dance, and, you know, she was really nice, and Alan thought she was pretty, and she finally went into the dance, and shortly after that, Alan said, "I think I like this girl." And I said, "Well, tell me about her, Alan." He goes, "Well, she's pretty, she's smart, she's hardworking, she's athletic." And I said to him, I said, "Now be careful, that could be out of your league." I said, "You set your heights high, but not that high." And he said to me, he goes, "Well, Dad, you did it, why can't I?" Because in our family, we have a quasi-joke. It's about 92% true and 8% quasi. Then my wife married down, I married up, and we call it even. So she likes when I say that. There are a couple of engaged couples here today. I think one, two, three, at least four couples. So thank you very much. I enjoy being around young people because there's energy. And I know one of the things, William Schallenberger, he used to attend in Columbus. We kicked him out. They moved to Atlanta. But there was a time that Michelle was talking to his middle brother, the middle one, and the middle brother, Ryan, went home to his dad and said, "You know, Mrs. Waterhouse is always trying to set me up with somebody." And he said, "It's okay, Ryan, just let her do that." And he goes, "Why do you think that is?" And William's dad, and with a straight face, says to Ryan, "Well, Ryan, she feels like she's settled, and she doesn't want our kids to do that." So one of the benefits of marriage, one of the good things of marriage, is it gives us someone to help us up. Everybody in this room will trip and fall from time to time. And marriage is a union and a partnership and a oneness that says, if you fall down, I'll help you up. If you have a need, I'll help that need. If you need something, I'll be here for it. You know, about 5 years ago, I had a procedure, a medical procedure, and it wasn't a lot of fun. So I spent about a week in the hospital. I had a surgery. And every day that I was in the hospital, I would look over to the right and Michelle would be sitting right there. Every single day, she was helping me up. Because I was on a lot of medications the first week. And the doctors would come in and the surgeons, and they would have all these things they were going over. And she was making notes and listening and figuring it all out. And I was sitting over there drooling down my chin. I don't think I was really drooling, but I was so out of it, I may have been. But I remember I spent a week in the hospital, and every time I needed something, she was right there. And then we did the surgery out of town. Michelle's a little embarrassed of me. She said, we have to go out of town so nobody sees us. That's not true, but so we were out of town, so we stayed in a motel for a week because I had some checkups after 2 weeks. And the whole time we were in the hotel, the same thing was happening. Her alarm was going off every 4 hours. She had 7 or 8 different of my medications. She had them all lined up. The alarm would go off. She'd get up. She'd walk around to my side of the bed, wake me up, feed me some pills, give me a little water. And we did that for 2 weeks while we were still in Baltimore. And then I came home, and she did the same thing for a third week. And then she goes, I know you had a brain surgery, but you got to get out of the house. So at 3 weeks, she started driving me to work. And every day she would drive me to work. She would drive me home because I wasn't released to work or released to drive yet. So all of that time, she was proving what the Bible says about marriage. That marriage is so you and I can help one another up. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, please. We'll read verses 9 and part of verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 4, 9. Two are better than one. So I realize this is not a scripture only written to married couples, but it's a fundamental scripture about marriage. Two are better than one because they have a reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. Marriage is better because we have somebody that will lift us up and somebody that we can lift up. There's a Swedish proverb that says, shared joy is doubled, shared sorrow is halved. And I believe that's true with marriage. When you're married and you have the right relationship and good things happen, it just becomes even better. And when bad things happen, you're there to back one another up and they become a little easier. This type of thinking helps for decades. It helps for years and years and years of marriage. Another thing that the Bible says is good about marriage is it gives us somebody to listen to and to talk to. Human beings all like to communicate. Introverts may like to communicate their way, extroverts differently, but all human beings like to communicate. And in marriage, we have someone to communicate with. And the more we know each other, the better we are at listening and sharing and talking and having dialogue and discussion. Go over to the book of James, please. Verse 1, or chapter 1, James 1, verse 19. We'll read what James has to say about this. Another scripture that isn't specifically talking about marriage, but definitely applies to marriage. James chapter 1, verse 19. James says, and then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, listen more than you talk, and if you find yourself getting uptight about something, work on getting that out. Swift to hear and slow to speak. You know, in today's world, there's never-ending communication all day long. You know, people are texting, Facebook Messenger, Snapchatting, Instagram, YouTube, all of these things all day long. And it's one of the benefits of technology. I love my phone because Michelle and I can communicate all throughout the day if we need things. We had, last night, we were trying to calculate how many times Alan and Kendall had texted each other. So we put a conservative number on it, times the number of days, times the number of years. And the small math was about 114,000 each way. And Lori Herman believes it's closer to a million. They communicate all the time. And that's a wonderful thing, because if one of them's having a good day, the other one's there to say, hey, I'll help you with something. If somebody's having, you know, something challenging, maybe they'll may do a little research and help them with a paper. I do remember we were at the feast one year with the Hermans, and Lori was very worried about Kendall, because Kendall and Alan took the pre-SAT one day, and I drove them over, and Lori said she was just worried about them, because during the pre-SAT, they weren't allowed to have phones, and they couldn't text each other for 2 hours. And she was concerned with her little baby girl. Someone to listen to and someone to talk to. Someone to communicate with is one of the benefits of marriage. Maybe Alan and Kendall can make a list. Now, right now, you're all in love and everything's perfect, and it'll stay that way because you'll never have any bad times. It all gets better from here. But say if you get back, you start back into school, you start into work, you can make a list of 7 things that you love about the other one, and every day just text it. Maybe write a little note, maybe put something in their lunch. All of those things are one of the benefits of marriage, because marriage gives us a chance to listen to and talk to another human being in depth. Turn back to Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Proverbs 15, verse 1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And sometimes we read this scripture and we go, if somebody's coming at me and they're angry, if I'm nice to them back, they'll be happier. And that's true. But it's also, if you're with your spouse, your husband or wife, and something's gone wrong in their day and they're upset about it, they may not even be upset at you, but just a kind word in response changes the whole dynamic. So that is one of the great things of marriage, because over the decades, you learn each other. You learn each other's triggers, what bothers somebody. And instead of using that to get them, you use it to help them. One of the benefits of marriage is that we can be the one who offers the soft answer when someone is troubled. We can be the one that helps somebody with our words when they're having a difficult day. You know, my coworkers and my friends don't have the same investment in my good. My wife is 100% invested that I can become a better person, and vice versa. So when she and I are talking, we're not trying to get the upper hand, or we're not trying to convince someone of something. We're just working to help one another, and that's one of the beauties of marriage. Always assuming the best about each other and then letting our words share that with each other. Focusing on our spouse's strengths rather than their weaknesses and talking about that. Go over to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. One of the definitions of the word corrupt is worthless, or something that's not bringing value to the other person. It says, let no worthless word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. In other words, when we're with our spouse, our words should lift that other person up. Our words should make them a better person, should help them make better decisions, should help them see the better side of life. And that is another one of the things that's so great about marriage. Last week, I was listening to a podcast, and when I'm driving around, I really enjoy listening to podcasts. And I'm listening to one, and he's interviewing another guy who had recently been married, and the other guy is a financial guy. And he's really into reviewing and discussing and planning. And I was really amazed by the process that he talked about. He and his new wife schedule a weekly check-in. So they actually schedule on the calendar a time every week to ask three questions. And at first I thought that's kind of overkill. But when Michelle and I first got married, we left work, we went home, and we didn't have much to do. We talked a lot. Now, people have school, people have the internet, there are all kinds of activities, there's stuff you're doing after work, and it's easy to get caught up in life and eventually not have those conversations. But this guy said he and his wife sit down every week and they plan the time and they ask three questions. And one asks the question to the other one and vice versa. The first one is, what have I been doing well or improving? And I thought, that's interesting. Because normally, you know, when you sit down, there's a little conflict sometimes. But the first question was positive. What am I doing well or what am I improving at? The next question is, where have I dropped the ball or could focus more? And the last one is, what would I like to see more of in our relationship? And what this gentleman said was, through months and months and months of doing this weekly check-in, they started keeping notes, and they put it up in Evernote, and they would review it occasionally, and they started to see that 8 weeks ago we talked about this, and it was something we didn't agree on, and you said you'd do this, and I said I would do that, and now they started seeing things that were improving in their marriage. So that weekly check-in time, I thought was a great idea. Maybe if you'll, okay, don't say anything mean, okay. Michelle, anytime I look at Michelle when I'm up here, she gets a little anxious. So that's why I like looking at Alan and Julie, because they don't mind. But I just thought it was an interesting way of doing it, because the person who was being interviewed said, we try to over-communicate. And I thought, that's interesting, because most people don't hear what the other person says. If I'm having a conversation with you, you've got your words and your thoughts. I have my words and my thoughts. We're probably half listening to each other. And what he said is they just kept doing it over and over and over, and eventually all the things that they wanted to discuss kept coming up. So they were able to work through anything that wasn't positive. And last week that really struck me, because I was talking to a guy last week, a gentleman that I work with, and on Wednesday, his divorce became final. And I hate to hear that. He went through a rough last couple of years. And I said, well, because he had told me he wasn't sure why his wife wanted a divorce. And he said after they'd finished the final court date, they were talking afterwards. And he said to her, can you tell me why you wanted a divorce? And he said she told him six different things that weren't true. They were things they had talked about and worked through. And then she finally said to him, well, I want to have kids, but I don't want to have kids with you. And to me, that was just heartbreaking, because they had spent years together. They had decided to start a family, but then it all ended. And I was thinking back on that, you know, what if they would have done a weekly check-in? And all of those things would have surfaced years before, and they could have worked through them. That to me was just, it was a hard conversation to hear from the gentleman that I work with. So a third thing that's positive or great about marriage, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2, please. The third thing is, we have someone to have our backs. Somebody that always has our backs. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. We'll read verses 3 through 5 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So this is all about having someone's back. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So if I'm looking at my spouse and I'm saying to myself, I've married up, I'm going to have a different attitude when something happens, or I'm going to have a different perspective on things. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, this is what Christ's mind was. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ has our back. When you and I fall short, everything that's wrong in our lives, he died so that we could be forgiven. Jesus always has our back. And in one of the benefits of marriage is the husband and the wife can have each other's back. You know, Michelle knows if something happens and she has a conflict, I only support one side of the conflict, hers. And for me, she only supports me till we get home and then I'm educated or re-educated in some ways. I don't know any of you, obviously Joel and Suzanne are members here, but a lot of you don't know this about Joel, but one time Joel got in trouble with the law. So he was at a grocery store and he got hungry and Suzanne wasn't feeding him much and he stole a can of peaches. And the security on the way out caught him, and he went before the judge, and it was a wise old judge. And the judge says, "Why'd you steal the peaches?" And Joel goes, "I was just starving. I was so hungry." And the judge says, "Okay, I see you're a good person. There were 5 peaches in the can, 5 days in jail." And Suzanne gasped. And then she goes, "Judge, he stole a can of peas as well." Suzanne did not have Joel's back. Now, I don't think that's a totally true story. But that's an example of not having each other's back. But in marriage, you and I can have each other's back with zero expectations in response. If I do something good for you and I expect nothing in return, I can never be disappointed. And if you do something good for me and expect nothing in return, you're never disappointed. And then if I say thank you, that's just an added benefit. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. It says here, "And let us consider one another," or think about one another. And in marriage, that means think about the spouse, sorry. Think about your spouse. Think about the one you live with that you love. And it says, verse 24, consider the other in order to stir up love and good works. When I have my wife's back and she has my back, it's easier to make good decisions, to keep a better attitude, to live a better way of life, because we know when we're at home, that's where we support one another all the time. Stirring up love and good works. Go back to the Song of Solomon. It's right after Proverbs, then Ecclesiastes, then Solomon. And there's a scripture that's a little vague, but it has incredible meaning. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." What would happen in Solomon's time is there were these little foxes that would go into vineyards and they would eat the grapes, just little bits of grapes here and there, and if enough of them came through, they could harm a harvest. And what Solomon's talking about here is when we have a relationship and little things start bothering us, we have to get on those little things fast. We have to fix the little problems before they become big problems. If we chase the little foxes away, then we have a good harvest for our grapes. We've got to identify the habits that could sabotage a marriage and deal with those quickly. They're like little roots that grow under a sidewalk, and then they become big roots, and then you're walking down the sidewalk and your toe hits the next piece of concrete. It's all the little attitudes or the comments. But that's why we have each other's back, because we can look at these things and talk to one another and share our thoughts and share our ideas. Fourth is, we can grow closer to each other as we grow closer to God. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, please. One of the benefits of marriage is we can grow closer to each other as we grow closer to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. This is by far the best part of the whole message, because this is ideally what marriage is all about. It's about a relationship that extends beyond this life. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing is an instruction to you and me as individuals that says, I'm going to constantly be in contact with God. It's not just once a day or twice a day, but it's all day long I see something and I can pray about it. I remember I heard a gentleman speaking one time, and I don't know why, but this just stuck in my head. He said every time he hears an ambulance go down the road, he says a silent prayer for the people in the back of the ambulance. And it was just, to me, it was just a nice thing to hear and to think about, because it's getting the attention off of me and onto someone else. But pray without ceasing in a marriage is praying together. You know, you have a bad day, you can kneel down and pray together. And that changes your mind. It changes our perspective. It changes the way we think about things. I found an incredible quote, and there wasn't anybody attributed to the quote, so it said it was by anonymous. And it says, if happiness is our primary goal, we'll get a divorce as soon as the happiness seems to wane. If receiving love is our primary goal, we'll dump our spouse as soon as they seem to be less attentive. But if we marry for the glory of God, to model His love and commitment to our children, and to reveal His witness to the world, divorce makes no sense. If my marriage ultimately is about worshiping God and bringing my spouse along worshiping God, and her goal is the same, that's where the long-term good of marriage is. It's that time where we communicate, we have each other's back, and ultimately we're helping each other in our relationship with God. Go back to Proverbs 27, please. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If you're married, your job is to make your spouse sharper, to make your spouse smarter, to make your spouse better. And if two people are doing that, then that marriage just grows over time. That marriage becomes wonderful. You know, a grandmother once said to her grandchild, when you and your spouse are both fighting, you both need to remember that it's you two against the problem and not you two against each other. We can grow closer to God and to each other because of marriage. I mean, we're here for this. Some of you attend in Fort Wayne. Some of you are here for Alan and Kendall's wedding. And we're very blessed because the two of them are starting their life on these principles. And I pray and I hope that they'll continue their life on these principles. And I know all of us here today want to live according to these principles, according to the things that make us closer to one another. You know, we marry for better or for worse. The better part is that we marry to have someone to help us up. We marry to have someone to talk to and to listen to. We marry to have someone else's back during troubling times. And ultimately, we marry to have a relationship that is growing closer together and, more importantly, closer to God. We marry for so many better things.